After, towards the end of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit returned from Nadia and brought with him a little poem which Advaita Acharya had composed. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read this mystical poem, he entered more deep into the ocean of separation. My dear devotees, some of you are starting to getting lost. No need, stay with us. I will soon become extremely practical so that you will have existential question marks in your heads. Would you like to hear the poem which had such a profound effect on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is a mystical poem, a little bit like Burijampabhu's poem, but I believe a little bit easier to understand, because your poem was really, we could only rise to our feet and scream bravo. It was unresolvable until you said it. So here is the poem. Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Advaita Bola, who has also become a madman in ecstatic love, has spoken these words. What this really said was that your mission is over. Everyone has absorbed love of Godhead. It's like when you open a marketplace and everyone has bought the rice which is offered in the marketplace, you can close the marketplace. You can go now. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and told Swarup Damodar, who knew the meaning of this shloka, Advaita knows deity worship according to the rules. He first calls a deity, he has called me, and when the worship is concluded, he sends him away. I do not know what are the mantras. Huh? Avahana, come. And Visarjan, you can go now. Function is over. We had such deities when we were on the Nitai Go World Traveling Sankirtan Party. We had Go Nitai deities, and we would... this was Prabhupada's instructions of the deity worship, and I was one of the pujaris. I would invite the Lord to come. No, I would take him out of the box first when we had a function, and then put him on an altar, then invite him to come for the function, stay for the function, and then because we couldn't serve him after the function, we would send him away after. You may go now. This is possible. So Advaita Acharya had first called Lord Chaitanya, come. The world is helplessly finished in atheism and materialism. Come and spread love of Godhead. And then now he sends Lord Chaitanya away. That means, really, that Lord Chaitanya had now time and permission to focus on his other mission exclusively. You know what this other mission is. To taste the feelings of Srimati Radharani. And he did this, I would like to quote a shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 4:108. Radhikara bhava jaiche udava dashane se bhava mata prabhu rahe ratri dine. Just as Radhika went mad at the sight of Udava, so Lord Chaitanya was obsessed day and night with the madness of separation. This happened after Lord Chaitanya had received this poem that your mission is finished. Everyone has taken the Hare Krishna mantra and love of God. You may go now. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went deep into this direction of feelings of separation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation doubled as the scene, a very particular scene appeared before his eye. The eye was, the scene was Uddhava, the friend of Lord Krishna, had gone with a message of love to Braj. Uddhava, Prabhupada writes this, out of many close associates of Lord Krishna, Uddhava is considered the best. Here is a description of Uddhava. His body is blackish like the color of the Yamuna River. Do you know some other person who is blackish like the Yamuna color? Krishna. And it is similarly as cool. Krishna has a very cool body. He's always decorated with flower garlands first used by Lord Krishna. And he is dressed with yellow silk clothing. Uddhava's two arms are just like the bolts of a door. Very strong. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. You know everything. And he is the most important devotee among all the associates. When Uddhava, I take all this information from Sri Krishna Katamrita Bindu, making a little advertisement. When Krishna, imagine this, how Uddhava was related to Krishna. When Krishna was in Hastinapura and not in Dwaraka, Uddhava made a tour to the Raivata mountains just to divert himself. When he went to Raivataka hills, he minutely observed the congested black clouds. You must know at the Raivataka hills, there are always clouds, congested black clouds. In his disturbed condition, because Krishna was too long absent, he began to pray to these clouds, and he expressed his jubilation by bowing down before them. This is how mad Uddhava was for Krishna. He went, when Krishna was not there, he took the substitute of Krishna, the clouds of the Raivataka mountains. He did make an excursion, and when he saw them, he prayed to them. And he said, "My dear leader of the Yadu dynasty, your servants in Vrindavan cannot sleep at night thinking of you. So now they are lying down on the bank of the Yamuna, almost paralyzed. And it appears that they are almost dead because their breathing is very slow." Uddhava, you must know, when you fall into love of Godhead, your social life is finished. Hare Krishna. You will be seen by the world as being totally crazy, because your only question will be, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Imagine, we would come from the Govardhan retreat, all of us, to the highly social Krishna Balaram Mandir. And we, all of us, would enter the MVT building, where there is a place of dating for the young Gurukulas. I have personally visited this place of dating to preach Krishna consciousness there. They said, Maharaj, we will come tomorrow to your class. You may go. We would go there. All our friends would see us. And we would stand before them. Where is Krishna? Can you tell me? Where's the monsoon-colored Lord with a dhoti, like a flash? you can be rest assured, there won't be an Ishta Goshti about you. This love of Godhead, my dear devotees, it is something so exquisitely sweet, but totally different from known feelings in this world. It is unknown to us in this world, in this strength and so on. And we will no longer be able to play our ego games and play in this useless circus show which is called material life. There are total different standards for proper behavior in the realm of love. There it is not mad if you pray to a cloud when Krishna is absent. They were very desired feelings. So, the scene which appeared before Lord Chaitanya was that of his chosen associate, Uddhava, who came with his own ornaments, with Krishna's own ornaments and Krishna's own chariot to Braj. As he entered Vrindavan, he saw that all the Brijbasis were really submerged in the feeling of transcendental separation. Nanda Maharaj was lying on the ground of his house. There was a channel from his house to the Yamuna. Do you know what the water of this channel was? The tears of Yashoda and Krishna and Nanda Baba for Krishna. He saw that on the house there was a little stick. It was a reddish stick with a golden cord, which Mother Yashoda still kept there in case her little boy would go out cowherding. Nanda Maharaj said, Krishna left the stick because in Mathura he will not do cowherding any longer. Why do you still keep it? He is not coming back. But Mother Yashoda could not hear. Every dusk time, evening time, Mother Yashoda would go with an arati tray on the street, just like she had done when Krishna came home from the cow herding, with the cows in front of her. Mother Yashoda would greet her little boy with an arati to dispel all inauspiciousness from his body. And he had heard, Uddhava heard, how Yashoda on one day was seen not as at dusk, that is the appointed time when Krishna used to come back. Mother Yashoda was standing there in the noon sun at 1 o'clock, that's when it's very hot. And the ladies of Braj had come, Mother Yashoda, what are you doing? I'm waiting for Kanai. Yeah, but he is in Mathura, he won't come back. Since many months he is in Mathura. No, he must come today. If he does not come today, I will go to Mathura. And I will bring all the toys which Krishna left here in one big bag. And I will go to Devaki. And I will say, I will stay in the palace and I will wash the clothes of my little boy. I don't demand payment. All I wish is to see him 1 minute, 1 minute. Allow me to see him 1 minute. This was the feelings of the Brijbasis. Uddhava saw these feelings. Uddhava saw all the Brijbasis. He saw the cowherd boys. They were lying in the valleys near the Yamuna. Their bodies were pale. And because they were crying so much for Krishna, their bodies were very thin. Uddhava saw the trees of Vrindavan, who had lost all their leaves out of separation. And then Uddhava met whom? Gopis, Srimati Radharani. When he met Srimati Radharani, it's very nicely described in the Krishna book, how Radharani was talking in a delirium about Krishna. Oh you, we know you. You just take what is beneficial for you and your purposes, and then you go, never to return. You are like that bumblebee who goes to the flowers, plunders their wealth, and then goes away. We hear from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that Radharani at that time saw a black bumblebee. This bumblebee was no one else than Krishna, who had come from Mathura in the form of the bee to see her condition. Radharani looked at the bumblebee and asked, "Is it you? Is it you? Oh, it must be you. And now you have heard me saying bad words about you. Please, bumblebee, it was not meant like this." And then in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is described, Radharani turned to Providence. "Providence, it's your fault that you meet Krishna. Then you took Krishna away from us." Then she said, "No, it's not your fault, Providence. It's our fault." And in this way, Radharani was talking and talking. This is what Uddhava saw. And when Uddhava saw all this reactions in Vrindavan to Krishna's absence, he concluded, "I have no love for Krishna. I have absolutely no love for Krishna. To get love of Krishna, there's only one way for me. I must be born in Braj to get the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees, the gopis who have love for Krishna." "But oh no," said Uddhava, "I'm from aristocracy." How do we say in proper English? Aristocracy. Aristocracy. An aristocratic family. And they will not allow that their dust is put on their feet. So, okay, then I give up my Uddhava, my prince-like body, I will become a shrub, some plant. And then I will be in Vrindavan, and because the gopis are searching so much for Krishna, they will leave the footpath and run all over Vrindavan, and there is a chance that the dust of their lotus feet comes on me. On my second visit to Vrindavan, I went to Uddhava, this place where Uddhava is. Uddhava Kyari, the place where Uddhava is in the form of a little plant. And I remember I had drunken 50,000 liters of water, and now was the time to go in the forest. And I went there to entrust the water to gravity, and was just ready to make a divulge of water, when all of a sudden a bridge busy came with a stick and said, and pointed at the with a stick he pointed at me, and with a finger he pointed at the grass over which I was slowly descending, and he said, "Uddhava, Uddhava." And he was ready to beat me if I would place the wastewater on Uddhava. And I remember, it was just all the muscular functions had been done to release the water. "Uddhava, what is Uddhava? Where is Uddhava? Please give me a private moment here." But then I did remember that I had heard in the West that Uddhava is at a place to expect the dust and not the wastewater. So I quickly ran to some other place and Hare Krishna, I will not now go so much in the detail because Matajis are here and Giriraj are here. It was a traumatic experience, but at least I remember Uddhava is present in the form of grass. In Hare Krishna. So the mood of the gopis, that was desired by Uddhava, and that was getting into that was what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mood which Uddhava saw Radharani displaying, this mood, Lord Chaitanya went in. Where is Krishna? Here's a very nice verse. Kvananda kula chandrama, kvashiki chandra lankriti, kvamandra mula lirava, kvanu surendra nilajuti. In English, my dear friend, where is Krishna? Oh, this is not the mood of separation. Where is Krishna? Don't say it, I just listen. Who's like the moon arising from the ocean of Maharaj Nanda's dynasty? Where is Krishna?
Where is Krishna?
His hair decorated with a peacock feather. Where is he?
Where is he?
Where is Krishna?
Where is Krishna?
Whose flute produces such a deep sound? Oh, where is Krishna? Whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indranila jewel. Where is Krishna?
Where is Krishna?
Who is so expert in rasa dancing? Oh, where is he?
Where is he?
Who can save my life? Kindly tell me where to find Krishna. This was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in this feeling one can do the prime kirtan. My dear devotees, if you sit down to chant, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said you must chant with the mood of sambandha, some relationship to Krishna must be there, and the only relationship for a conditioned soul who's here in the material world is that mood of where is Krishna? I don't have Krishna now. This is the proper relationship. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught both by teachings and by examples. I would like to now discuss 3 points of how you can get the mood. But before doing this, I want to very urgently say, if you do not have this desire to find Krishna, if you don't feel there is this Govinda necessity, your bhajan will be dead. Your spiritual life, and you will, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you will necessarily return to non-Krishna, and you will become attached to non-Krishna things. If you remember Purijan Prabhu's first day, lecture day, he spoke of dying our consciousness. You know, in whatever you put the cloth, in what color you'd put the cloth, that color will be absorbed by the cloth. So if you have your consciousness in this world by seeing the world and receiving the world, your consciousness will be worldly. You must dye your consciousness with Krishna. And the only way to dye your consciousness with Krishna is by entering this feeling of separation. Because if you feel separation, you feel a thirst. And only with a thirst or a hunger will you take the meal of Krishna consciousness. A person who is not thirsty can be placed before a nice cooling buttermilk with pepper. He will look at it and place it somewhere else. So a person who is not thirsty, who doesn't wish Krishna, he will place Krishna consciousness into what is called the compromised draw. He will do everything, but superficially. The thirst is so important. Now, how does this come in our heart? How do moods at all come in our heart? It's always when you see another person being in that mood. Once Gaur Govinda Maharaj came from an Africa tour and he told in something like a reception lecture that to the Africans I gave an example, he said, how one can cry for Krishna. I said, if someone is weeping and you go to that person who is weeping, you automatically start weeping. Have you seen this? When someone is very, at least in Orissa villages, this is there. Now is marriage time. You might have acknowledged the beautiful marriage melodies, which are really free jazz. Yesterday, Baladev Vidya Bhushana saved my life yesterday by giving me American earplugs. You put them in and they inflate in the ear. They work really good, Prabhu. I could not hear anything. Thank you. I will remember you. Because I happen to not like free jazz. yes. So, when in marriage, I saw also today in Radhakund, the girl leaves the house to go to the house of the bride. You remember from Krishna book, Devaki was brought out of her house and driven on a chariot to the house of Vasudev. And naturally, all the relatives who know the little girl from when she was very small, even undressed, playing, and they come and they see this pathetic scene. The girl is dressed in a marriage outfit. They all know what it means, and she leaves the house, and they begin to cry. Oh, boo, boo, boo. Boo, boo, boo. It's so sad. Boo, boo, boo. And then you come and you see this and they cry and you go also boo, boo, boo. I remember when I first came to Vrindavan, it was the second or third year, I saw such a thing and everyone was crying so hard, rendering. So I thought, maybe a great soul has died. And as I looked on the people, I also started. And then one expert of Vrindavan, one devotee from Krishna Balaram said, Maharaj, you're not supposed to cry at a marriage. At that time I was a brahmachari. So, oh, brahmachari Maharaj, you want to marry or what? I said, what? I thought some great soul. No, it's some social function. But this happens when you see someone very sad, you start to cry. We had seen this. Prabhupada would fall in ecstasy and the Vyasa Sun, and these jewel-like tears began to form. And well, most of us were totally what to do now. Yes, there is a certain feeling coming in the heart. I would like to now say the second means of feeling some separation. This second means is instructed by us to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it may be more relevant to many of us than the first means. It's when you perceive some that the material world is really dangerous and that you made a mistake in coming here. Has any one of you ever has felt that the material world is dangerous and it was wrong that you left the spiritual world? A good number of devotees have felt this. That this deep sorrow, why have I come here? What mistake I have done? So you might like to read in books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur song books, and there you will get songs. And there is one in Sharanagati. There is one section. It's called Bhajan Lalasa, the hankering for bhajan. Please look there. It's the first song. Song starts Hari He Prapancha Dulud. You know, I don't know the. But I have fallen from you, O Hari. I have left you. I have come to this material world. And it's described, the sorrow is described. This verse is the, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has expressed this mood in the fifth verse of Chaitanya Charita, of Shikshastakam. And you could chant this verse before you go into your chanting. Ayi nanda tanuya kinkaram patitang mam vishamim bhavam buddho. Please note down verse 5, Shikshastakam. If you chant this and read a little bit more Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song on this verse, you will feel like crying. I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. I have left you, my Lord. Now please pick me up from this dangerous ocean. I might repeat myself, but for the sake of a dramatic lecture, which gets all my listeners on board, I will say it again. A few years ago, I went swimming in the Canarian Islands. I had given 3 lectures on that day, and I needed a little relief, mental relief and physical refreshment. And I entered the ocean, overseeing the red sign, don't enter the ocean at this time. I began to swim, and I noticed I was swimming very swiftly. So because I'm usually very intoxicated with my glories, I thought, by this preaching I have developed tremendous swimming potencies. And I was swimming very swiftly. I was really, I could enter the Olympiad Games here with this speed. But as I turned around to swim back to the shore of the ocean, I noticed that there was a current taking me out on the high sea, and no matter how much I tried to swim against the current, I lost ground. I came further and further into the deep sea, and I could see it very nicely, because I had put for good swift swimming, I had put these glasses, you know, and this snorkel, because then you don't need to always come up, you can just go vroom and go like a zoom through the water. And I had turned around and I noticed how the ground, I was really losing ground, you know. Applied all my power in swimming, and I'm a good swimmer usually, at least when I was young. Now I don't know any longer. But I saw really myself gliding into the ocean. And then the high waves came and put me underwater. I started to vomit, and these are the first signs of drowning. And at the first moment, I was shocked. I thought, what? Is this how Sachinanand Swami is supposed to die? Shouldn't I be in Vrindavan? And then when it comes, I would tell the devotees gloriously, now lift me up and place me in the dust of Braj, so that this is a proper departure, you know. And now I'm drowning like an ordinary German tourist near the Canarian island in what is it, the Atlantic Ocean. this was really too much for my false ego to take. And then only I was really, then I started to get the sign, this is your death. I was really totally surprised and shocked, because I thought it was due to my swimming abilities that I was swimming so fast. That it caught me totally by surprise. Then I prayed to Lord Krishna. My dear Lord, if this is the way you have designed my death, I'm willing to accept it. But please, if there is a way out of this situation, I would be more happy. Please save me. And at that moment I heard a distinct, you know, it's difficult to say in words how it is. It's like a message. First it's a feeling, and then you feel almost it's a voice. This is not the time of your death. Soon waves will come which go towards the land. You just go with the waves, try to stay with them as long as possible. And when they have gone beyond you, if they have rolled beyond you, you just don't fight when the ocean sucks you back. So, the next wait for the next wave and swim with the waves to the land. And so I did it. One big wave came and tried to get on top of it, you know, with the last strength, and going as long as possible with the wave. Then the wave is faster. Then the ocean pulled me back. So it was like 13 meters to the shore, 12 meters back. Again, 13 meters to the shore with the next wave. Like this, I think you get the idea. And here I am. I have not drowned. But as I was on the bank, finally, after an hour or so, it was terribly long. I was on the shore and I was really noticing, oh, I'm still in the ocean of material existence. The fight is not over. My dear Lord, please pull me out of the major ocean. I was drowning in the puddle inside the bigger ocean, but the bigger ocean is still surrounding me. So when a person understands that his material life is a dangerous position, he will pray to Lord Krishna to get him out, and some feelings of separation might come at that time. Oh my Lord, I lost you. This is a terrible place. Govinda Virahiname. You will get a little closer to this. But really, the real there is a meditation which will bring you, which can bring you to a feeling of separation. Feeling a separation from Krishna. You know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he's fixed in consciousness. In other words, if you have a higher taste in your life, you can give up the lower taste. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda gives a very revealing comment. Now may I ask you, can you hear me acoustically? It's not just some unidentified sounds, you hear the subject of the lecture. Good. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said something which touched my heart and helped me a little bit to think more about the mood of separation for the beginner's lesson in this. The quintessence of life is... Quintessence of life, please. What is life all about? What? Enjoying. Trying to enjoy. Yajnavalkya says there are only two moves in the human psychology. We want to love and we want to be loved. Only these two things. This Yajnavalkya's philosophy and psychology. And Bhaktivinoda Bhaktivinoda says, the quintessence of life is to love. A large majority suffer under the misconception that fulfillment of selfish desires is the primary purpose of human existence, to enjoy. That's, you are right, Aniruddha. Most of the people consider this the quintessence of life, or try to enjoy. But this is a misconception. That is far from the truth, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur. For love, man can sacrifice everything, and the highest expression of this love is to love the supreme object of love, Sri Krishna. In other words, if you are able to love Sri Krishna, you have reached the quintessence of life. And this is proven in the the Bhagavata. When Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadev Goswami why Krishna was so beloved by the residents of Vrindavan, who loved him even more than their own offspring or life itself. I'm reading now from Prabhupada. At that time, Shukadev Goswami replied that everyone's atma or soul is very, very dear, especially to all living entities who have accepted material bodies. This is what they love. Why do they love the soul? Why is the soul lovable? Because Krishna is inside the soul. He makes this point. And I could see this. I was once in Shida Mayapur, most probably told this, but not at the retreat. And two of the people to whom I have preached had come for the first time to India, to the Mayapur festival. And because they came late, they were accepted earlier, there was at the moment no good accommodation ready. So we put them up in a little tent city, which was the third world accommodation. The lady was a princess, I mean she has aristocratic blood, and her friend was a homeopathic doctor, still remember this. So they had arrived and they were jet-lagged, and we put them in the tent city where there was, you know, the little accommodation in these jute, you know, this separating walls with jute bags, you know, very simple accommodation. And I was a guest to Jayapataka Maharaj for breakfast. Do you know what this means? 35 preparations. And we were eating very happily. We were very hungry, and Maharaj was sitting where he always sits, in this swing seat, and eating nicely, and I was facing the fields, you know. I was facing him and then looked at the field. All of a sudden I saw smoke, and the smoke was becoming heavier and heavier. I said, Maharaj, is this natural for you, for Mayapur, that there is smoke at this time? You never know in India, you know. And he looked around and said, my God, and we ran to the thing, and the tent city was on fire. I thought, oh no. Petra and Joachim are in the tent city. And I ran down. Oh no, I hope they will not burn. Then I saw Petra, the girl. She was dressed in what girls have under the shirts. That was all. And because it was so hot, you know, and the boy came out in his underwears. He had lost, the passport was burning, the glasses was burning, everything was burning, and my first reaction was, I mean, they should be properly dressed. Peter, would you mind to dress in this chadar? It's an Indian dress. It's quite suitable and appropriate for moments of traumatic intensity, you know. Then she dressed and I could talk naturally. And I remember after we had sat down, you know, I'm sometimes like this. I asked the question, I know it's not the proper time to ask maybe, but what were you thinking of at the time when you woke up in the midst of flames? What were you thinking of? Were you thinking of the other partner? Of your passport? Or I just wanted to know, you know. What can I do? I'm interested in psychology, practical psychology. And Peter said, I was not thinking of Joachim. I was only thinking of myself and how to get myself out of this. Because when really life is in danger, you immediately think of yourself, how to save yourself. I remember when Burijam, Prabhu and Jagatarini, Mataji and Gaurahari and myself left Vrindavan to come to a retreat, there were two bulls fighting on the street for the cows. It's the time, you know, it's no longer so hot and the bulls begin to think and lust is there. And I asked the driver, serious, is it serious? And people were fleeing left and right because a bullfight, you don't want to be just very close. You don't know which way it goes, you know. And I still remember, as we were approaching, it could have happened that the bull would come into the car. I still remember, when it happens that the bulls come closer, I will immediately jump out of the car and jump and run behind the car. And I made plans how to save my neck. Didn't think of anything else. Not even of our nice harmonium. Nothing. Just to save myself. This is what is happening in these moments. Why do we love ourselves so much? Why are we so much in ourselves or so much full of ourselves? Because there is a soul, an eternal soul inside, which makes this bunch of matter lovable. Why do we love the soul? Because there is Krishna. And because for the Brijbasis, Krishna was directly there. They loved him more than their own life. This is how the love of the Brijbasi is for Krishna. The devotees of Krishna is for Krishna. Mother Yashoda would give 10,000 life breaths just to make her make Krishna wipe the drops of perspiration from Krishna's forehead. This is called love. Love beyond your own selfish concerns. There is where love is. And that is spiritual life. That is bhakti. So to come to these dimensions of love, not this mental love, this is the higher taste, and this we will enter by feeling, where is Krishna? When you think your life is all right, think again. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, and I will ask, I will end with this, then we will make a little concluding bhajan. He asked Damodar Pandit, how is Mother Sachi doing in Navadvip? No, first she asked, do you think Mother Sachi has bhakti? Damodar Pandit said, he's a little temperamental, you have your bhakti from Mother Sachi. She's the mother of the universe. How can you ask this? She's full of bhakti. Then Lord Chaitanya said, Lord Chaitanya speaks through his devotees and he said, this is, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, the Lord wanted to show that bhakti describes a person's well-being. When you ask somebody, how are you? You should ask, how is your bhakti? Mahaprabhu was thinking of Mother Sachi, and he wanted to know, how is she doing? And the way she asked it, he asked it is, do you think she has bhakti? Which evoke a very temperamental response. So when someone asks you, how are you? Do you also sometimes find this question the most difficult question to answer? What do you mean? The body, the mind, the this, the that? How are you? You are really asking, how is your bhakti? When someone asks you, how are you? Keep this in mind. Speak about your bhakti. Best is to say, I have no bhakti. Please show me Krishna. Conscious subject matters. Explain about Krishna to me. And so on. Bhakti describes your well-being. A life without bhakti is not worth a life. For our service, for our chanting, for our Govardhan Parikrama, we want one wage. We want a drop of love go into our heart. What type of love? The love and separation. Oh Krishna, where are you? The best mood in which you perform your service is this. Where are you, Krishna? Not I have seen Krishna. And you might remember, I'm looking towards... In Bhurijam Prabhu's thing, is it a lecture? It was there Prabhupada said this. If you do not understand somebody, how you can love him? Love is far, far away. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that he is distributing Krishna Prema. Take! Anyone! Come on! Krishna Prema Pradayate. I want to give Krishna Prema. And now Prabhupada says, one should be ecstatic. Don't be a dry person. Emotional. In Krishna Prema. One shall cry for Krishna. And he, Lord Chaitanya, he taught everyone by his practical example how he was mad after Krishna. Govinda virahename. Shunyaitam jagat savam govinda virahename. This is Krishna Prema. Without Krishna, one should see everything vacant. This is Radharani's Prema. That is not possible for ordinary human being. It might be possible for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and few devotees, just like his immediate disciples, the six Goswamis. They were also following the same principle. In Vrindavan, the six Goswamis used to live, but they were seeking Krishna, becoming mad. Where is Krishna? They never said, we have seen Krishna. So this is the mood which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought. And the earlier you can come into this mood, do this. And I recommend you just realistically think about your life. Time is passing. You're still in the world. You might go in the West. You might catch yourself in the West, being overcome by puny attachments and by ego and iron mind, and your life doesn't progress. At that time think, oh Krishna. Don't think, oh poor me. Think, oh Krishna. Please, save me from this danger. Days are passing, one day has passed, one hour has passed, one minute has passed, nothing. I'm chanting, what a counting game. Enter these sublime feelings through the feelings of the great personalities like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Pray these prayers for Krishna, which these great acharyas have prayed. Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, when will my mind... climbed up on the horseback of the conceptions of Rupa Goswami's thoughts and galloped to the divine couple. You know, this is in Abhishta Lalasam, a prayer of Raghunath Das Goswami. Do you acknowledge when you ride on a horse it goes faster than on your own? Who has done horse riding? Who has done swift horse riding? Galloping? Up to gallop you went? Gallop is a heavy one. I had a horse from my Max. He was galloping. And I could gallop without saddle. Faster, Max! And it goes much faster when you have a horse under you. So, if you want accelerated feelings, galloping feelings, read the proper poems, the proper prayers, the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They're very useful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to his followers, every day they must read Charanagati, Gitavali, and Kalyana Kapataru, these three books, and Nectar of Instruction. What I do is I go through these books. I can't read so much, but I read every day a little bit in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, stop, and then I continue. The next day, stop, then I continue the next day. And you know, when you see these acharyas weeping, crying, then by contact with their mood, this comes into your heart. Or if you are a little bit more selfish, a little bit more ordinary, think about the danger of material existence, that Krishna is your only savior. Don't be so self-satisfied and so assured. Nothing is sure here. And the third is, think about love. Why do you love yourself so much? Only because Krishna is there. And then your thoughts might go in the right direction. Hare Krishna. This is a little enthusiastic presentation. I'm so sorry, I'm getting a little enthusiastic nowadays. It is the influence of the place. Maybe if I'm getting too much carried away, I will not be invited any longer. But let us please end with a nice bhajan. Yes, please all turn to Giriraj. We want to conclude the evening with looking at Giriraj. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.